Hello, my friend. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. This is the Friday broadcast. And every Friday, I always try to remind you Sunday's coming. And if you don't have a place to worship, we would love to have you come to Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. We do drive-in church at 9 a.m. and then we have an inside service at 10:30. We'd love to have you come and join us. And I know that you feel right at home with us. And we are really excited over what God is doing. God is doing incredible things as we trust Him. And we've been going through a series called Transformed. And I don't know if you've got a whole lot out of this series. I have really enjoyed writing these sermons and preaching these sermons to you. And so today I want to talk about being transformed by facing giants. This is actually part 5 of the series that we're going through. And in Romans chapter 7, it reminds us that now we belong to Him in order that you might be useful in the service of God. Now, if you're going to be useful in the service of God, you're going to have to overcome and defeat some giants. You may have heard of the marshmallow test, and it's a study that was done many years ago. And basically what they did is they get these children, and they sat them into a room and said, can you wait 20 minutes? And they put a marshmallow in front of them, and it says, if you can go 20 minutes without eating this marshmallow, at the end of 20 minutes, not only can you have this marshmallow, but we'll give you an additional marshmallow. And they video record these kids, and they found out that kids that could have delayed gratification and not take that marshmallow ended up doing better in life. As they tracked these kids down the road, they discovered that those who could delay gratification, they were able to do more with their lives. And so as we think about facing giants, I want us to look at a very, very familiar story in the Bible. And it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is an interesting battle of David and that old Philistine giant. And as we think about this story, I know that you're familiar with this story. And so I just want to read part of it to you today. I won't read all of it to you. But I think we can take some things from this story that will help us to be transformed and help us to overcome the giants that we face. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 1. Now the Philistines mustered up their army for battle. Saul encountered up the gathering of the Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with a valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. We recently had a lesson with our kids, and we had actually the Philistine giant Goliath. We put him on a big sheet of paper, and he was 9 feet tall, 9'6" tall. And as I had him on the wall, everybody came in and says, man, is that really how tall Goliath was? And I said, yes, that's exactly how tall he was. The Bible goes on to tell us that he wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He wore a great bronze leg of armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. So as we look at the background, we see that the nation of Israel is fighting against the Philistines and the war has stopped. And Saul gathered the Israelites' troops and they're in the Valley of Elah and they are looking this giant in the face. So as you think about this, I want you to know that you're either of one or two places in your life. You're either drifting or you're dreaming. There was a TED Talk that was done during the 25th year reunion of a class graduation. They found that 80% of that class had the same story. I don't feel like I've ever accomplished the dreams, and I've missed my goals. He was talking to the graduates from Yale, who were all very successful, earned lots of money, held key positions, but yet felt, most of them felt like they had not fulfilled the dreams of their lives. They were drifting. You know, when you look at giants, David had a giant to face. God had rejected Saul as king, and Saul had lost his heart for God, refusing to obey God. He stopped praying for him. He said, let's move on. Let's find the next king in the house of Jesse. Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and there were some big guys there. Now, I want you to know when you're going to defeat these giants in your life, before you defeat these giants in your life, the first thing you're going to encounter is delay. We learn from 1 Samuel chapter 17, now David was the youngest son of a man named Jesse. Jesse's three oldest sons had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David's three oldest sons stayed with Saul's army, but David was held back so that he could be with his father, and take care of the sheep in Bethlehem. Now, as you think about God delaying us, in the book of Habakkuk, it says, "These things I plan won't happen right away." This is God talking to the prophet Habakkuk. He said, "But slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems kind of slow, don't despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue in a single day." Somebody put it like this. When God wants to make a mighty oak tree, he takes 100 years. When he wants to make a mushroom, he does it overnight. Great souls are grown through the struggles and the storms and the seasons of suffering. Be patient with the process. James advised us, don't try to get out of everything prematurely. Let it do its work in you so that you may become mature and well-developed. Pick up odd jobs. Be a music therapist for a crazy boss. Become a soldier. He does all of these things for 15 years, David does, and then he's finally anointed king. So from the time that Samuel came to David and the time that he was actually anointed the king was 15 years. He finally becomes king of Judah. You see, the bigger the dream that you have, the longer the delay. Character takes time. You don't become a man after God's own heart overnight. Saul never had that ability to be a man after God's own heart because he didn't have the ability to wait upon God. You see, God's delays are not denials. When he says no, it sometimes means not yet. Sometimes the people that know us best are the ones who are holding us back. Sometimes it's jealousy, fear, envy, protection. You know, there's four reasons why God delays us. Have you ever asked God to give you something, maybe a job or a pay raise or a resolution to a problem, but his answer is yet to come? Even if you ask with the right motives and you're still waiting for God to act. David expresses this sentiment in Psalm 69:17 when he calls out to God and he says, "God, answer me quickly, for I am in trouble." You see, God always has a good reason for delaying. Here are the four reasons why he delays. Number one, God delays because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And as you think about that, God will delay us because his ways are higher. God will slow us down and so that our ways can become congruent with his ways. You see, God is much more interested in developing our character to be like him than he is in developing our comfort or our promotion. In Proverbs chapter 3, we are told to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. God may be putting everything in place before revealing his answer to you. There's a second reason that God delays in giving us a promotion is that God's delays can demonstrate where our faith is. Galatians 6 tells us to wait upon God. Let us not become weary in our well-doing, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, when we respond to God's delays with faith, not doubt, God promises, God guarantees a harvest, and it will be at the proper time. Hebrews 10:36 says, "You need to be having perseverance so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." To persevere is to endure with an expectation of victory. I'm going to keep persevering because although I may be delayed, my faith tells me that victory is mine. Well, number three, sometimes God delays us so that he can bless us while we are waiting. Isaiah 30:18 says, or actually promises, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." You see, I see the compassion of God. I see the graciousness of God when I wait upon him. Those who wait upon the Lord will be blessed by God. God will take care of you and show you his compassion while you are waiting for him. He will be gracious, which conveys the word picture of God descending from above to personally show you his kindness. God has a personal level of showing us kindness in our times of waiting. Well, number four, God delays so we can be glorified in the end. John 11:4 says, "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that the God's Son may be glorified through it.' This is that verse that's part of a broader passage in John chapter 11 concerning the death of and the resurrection of Lazarus. When Lazarus was sick, Jesus purposefully delays going to him. During the delay, Lazarus dies. Jesus ultimately resurrected Lazarus, which was a manifestation of Jesus' glory for all to see. Now, Christians, we are still talking about this miracle today. God's miracles validate his word. In John 11:40, at the end of the story of Lazarus, Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Lazarus saw the glory of God. Those who witnessed his resurrection saw the glory of God. But Jesus had to delay 4 days in order for that miracle to take place. Well, as we think about slaying our giants, the first step is delay. The second step is discouragement. Going back to our story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath stood up and he shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you'll be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. They were shaken in their boots. You see, sometimes courage is found in the most unlikely people. You see, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is courage to continue that counts, said Winston Churchill. There was a negative spirit throughout that camp. All the courage was gone. We learn from the story that for 40 days, early morning and evening, that Philistine champion strutted out in front of the Israelite army and defied the Israelites. You see, sometimes we need fresh eyes when we're up against a problem. Fresh eyes of faith overcome discouragement. In walks David. David was out there checking on his brothers, following his dad's orders to go out there, bring them something to eat, and see how they're doing. As David was talking with his brothers, Goliath, that Philistine champion from Gath, came out. He came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the Israeli army. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Who are you listening to? That is a very good question. Are you listening to the taunts of an enemy, or are you listening to the words of the Lord? Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Young David saw not that giant Goliath, that he was too big to fall. He saw that Goliath was too big to miss. David realized that God had prepared him for such a time as this. All of the Israel army was defeated. All of the army was discouraged, but in walked David. You know, when you're going to defeat the enemy, there's going to be times of delay. There's going to be times of discouragement. There's also going to be times of disapproval where people are going to look at you and say, "You know what? You have lost your mind. You are crazy if you think you're going to defeat that giant. We have much better and stronger and more well-trained soldiers than you, David. Who do you think you are?" Here we see David is being taunted not only by the Philistine giant Goliath, but also by his own brothers. But when David's brothers, this is 1 Samuel 17, verse 28 and 29, but when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. "What are you doing around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and your deceit. You just want to see the battle. What have I done now?" David replied, "I was only asking a question." You see, dreamers are often loners. Few people get dreamers. Very few understand them. Many are threatened by them. As you think about dreamers, you remember Joseph? Joseph had a dream. God gave him a dream of how he's going to raise Joseph up to save Egypt and to save the Israelites. In Mark chapter 3, brothers and sisters came out to visit, And they said, what are you doing? This is Jesus' brothers and sisters came out to visit and says, what are you doing? Are you out of your mind? After the resurrection, that family believed. Now, it's pretty hard having to deal with a brother who is always right. You know, wanting to be liked can be a dream killer. Not everyone is excited about your success. Whose approval is most important in your life? Look at the taunting that Dave had to deal with. Hey, Davey, who's taking care of the sheepy, right? David is undaunted. He's having to face delay. He's having to face discouragement. He's having to face disapproval from his own family. But he realizes that giant is before him. But David also had to deal with doubt. David overcame doubt, and that's why he was able to defeat that giant. 1 Samuel 17:32. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. You see, Saul didn't believe that David could do it. Saul was trying to instill doubt in the heart of David. You know, when we think about doubt, there is room for doubt makers who are able to trust God. John Ortberg, in his book, Faith and Doubt, says this, as long as you have faith, you will have doubts. I sometimes use the following illustration when I'm speaking. I tell the audience that I have a $20 bill in my hand and I ask for a volunteer who believes me. Usually only a few hands usually go up. Then I tell the volunteer that I'm about to destroy his or her faith. I open up my hand and I show them the $20 bill. The reason I can say that I'm going to be destroying his faith is that now he knows I hold the bill. He sees the bill and he doesn't need faith anymore. Faith is required only when we have doubts, when we do not know for sure. When knowledge comes, faith is no more. Sometimes a person is tempted to think, I can't become a Christian because I still have some doubts. I'm still not sure. But as long as doubt exists, as long as the person is still uncertain, that is the only time faith is needed. When the doubts are gone, that person doesn't need faith anymore. Knowledge has come. I tell the audience that is exactly the point of the Apostle Paul that he was writing to the church at Corinth. When he said, now we see, that is a knowing world, but a poor reflection, now that we have confusion and misunderstanding and doubts and questions, but then we shall see face to face. We don't see face to face yet, but then we will. Now I know in part with questions and doubts, but then I shall know as I am fully known. You see, David was given a vision of victory. And because of that, when the doubt came along, he didn't look at that doubt. He rested on his faith. Well, as we look about defeating the giants, we talked about the process that goes through when we are facing that giant, but how do we actually defeat the giant? Well, number one, I must remember how God has helped me in the past. David went back in his mind and he says, I have done this before. I have faced lions and bears, and I'll do it again to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and that bear will rescue me from this Philistine. You see, he had confidence in God. God confidence. People don't always get it. God has stepped into our lives 1,000 times, but we tend to forget it. We forget. We remember the past victories, and then we can ride on those victories. That's why a prayer journal is so important. A prayer journal with a praise journal so that you don't forget what God has done. David was telling Goliath how God delivered him in the past. But David was also reminding himself of what God did in the past. We've been through this before. This giant may be a bit bigger, but we've learned that God helps us in our past, and he's going to help us today as well. That's just the way he rolls. Our God is an ever-present help in our times of trouble. So if you're going to defeat giants, number one, you got to remember that God has helped us in the past. Number two, you got to remember that God not only has helped us in the past, but we also must ignore the naysayers. David was now in great danger because all of the men were very bitter about losing their sons and their daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Now I want to fast forward this story, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Nobody is around to encourage David. People will not always be there to encourage you. Somebody asked me one time, well, as a pastor, how do you find encouragement? There's been times in my life where I felt like I didn't have anyone that could encourage me. And so I don't say this in a proud way, but I look at what David did. Nobody was there to encourage David. People will not always be there to encourage you. How do I find encouragement in the Lord? I practice praise. John 11, Father, I thank you. David, as he's off to battle, discovers that the enemy came in, killed the wives and the children. They come back to the camp and they find nobody there. Everybody killed. Now David's men turned against him. Nobody was encouraging David. You see, people won't always be there to encourage you. So David goes off and he finds strength in his Lord. Now, where did David learn this? David learned this when he was fighting that lion and fighting that bear. David learned it when he was fighting Goliath. He learned to ignore the naysayers. And by the way, there are more naysayers out there than there are those who believe you can do it. The naysayers will always be the majority. Don't listen to them. Ignore them. Well, if you're going to defeat the giants in your life, you've got to realize that God has helped you in the past. You've got to ignore the naysayers. And then number three, you got to use what God has given you. You can't use what God has given somebody else. Use what God has given you. Let's go back to the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped on the sword over it, and he took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up five smooth stones from a stream, and he put them into the shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with the shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistines. Now, as you think about this, if I had all of that, of course, I'd get it done. That's what some people say. If I had the right equipment, if I had the right armor, I could do it. Now, this is a temptation. God uses what you have right now in the hands of God, and that's all you need. Don't buy into the eye of laziness. 99% determination, 1% inspiration. That's what victory is. I am determined to fight the enemy. I am determined to use what God has given me. You see, David couldn't wear armor that didn't fit him, and neither can we. Do it God's way. Use what you have. Don't covet what somebody else has. You know, God made you so unique. Nobody sounds exactly like you. Nobody looks exactly like you. Nobody has the same fingerprints exactly like you. Nobody has the same DNA exactly as you. Nobody has the exact same skin tone that you have. God made you the way he made you. God has given you special gifts to fight the enemies that are coming into your life. Don't try to use the talents and the gifts of other people. David said, I tried putting on this armor. I'm not used to it. I have never worn it before. I can't even walk in this armor. So he went back to what he knew. He picked up those five smooth stones. He went down to that stream and he got a shepherd's bag together and he got his staff and he got his sling and he went across that valley to fight the Philistine. Well, here's the fourth thing that you got to remember if you're going to defeat that enemy, that giant. Remember the past, the help that God gave you. Ignore the naysayers. Number three, use what God has given you. And number four, most important, expect God to help. David replied to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I'll cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give it to us. Oh, I want you to know that you can expect God to step in at just the right time. You see, God's never early, nor is he ever late. He's always right on time. When you are facing eyeball to eyeball against that giant and it's time for that defeat of that giant, God will come through. So, Lord, I thank you for the great lesson that we have in David, a man after your very own heart. Lord, as we come against the giants in our lives today, I pray that we will realize that you have helped us in the past. I pray that you give us the courage to ignore the naysayers. I pray that you give us the wisdom to use the gifts that you have given us. And most importantly, we pray that we can expect you to help us out in our every time of need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.